This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson. I'll have your headlines for the day. When the Trump administration announced the new Farmer Bridge Assistance Program earlier this month, USDA said the goal was to release the payment rates by the end of December. It's now December 31st, and that information is not yet available. Private estimates suggest payment rates will be $46 per acre for corn, $25 per acre for soybeans, and $39 per acre for wheat. Barley is at the low end of the forecasts at $21 per acre, while cotton and rice growers are expecting per acre payments in excess of $100 per acre. Payments for the $12 billion program are scheduled to be made at the end of February. The Trump administration plans to deploy about $11 billion in bridge payments to farmers by the end of February. University of Illinois ag economist Joe Janzen says this raises new questions about how the added cash flow could influence grain marketing decisions.
Going back in history is a helpful guide, I think, in this case. What would farmers do with this money? Well, I think we know that they probably won't adjust production levels, right? That doesn't really change our incentive to plant a crop or not. But I think it can have an influence on marketing decisions, particularly the decision to hold grain for longer into the end of the marketing year. That's what we saw during MFP, the MFP era, the trade aid payments that were made in 2018 and 19.
Janzen says research shows those past payments encouraged farmers to hold more grain on the farm, especially soybeans, narrowing marketing windows and increasing risk.
And the big concern is, what does that do? It kind of narrows the marketing window for the farmer. And the potential is that, you're stuck holding a crop, let's say June and July with a very, short time window in which to get that crop sold before we have a 26 harvest.
Janzen says with large crops still expected and South American production also in focus, managing cash flow alongside marketing discipline will be critical as producers move into the 2026 crop year. China has wrapped up 2 days of military drills in the waters and airspace around Taiwan. The training was described as a stern warning to any intervention from other countries. Earlier this month, the Trump administration announced an arms sale to Taiwan, which Chinese President Xi opposed. Despite political tensions, China has reportedly purchased 8 to 9 million metric tons of its 12 million ton soybean obligation with the United States. China also now slapping an additional 55% tariff on beef imports from the United States, Brazil, Australia, and other countries. The tariffs kick in when shipments exceed certain quota levels. China has already imposed enhanced inspection protocols at its ports, creating a backlog for imports. As an example, 4,000 containers are reportedly stuck in the Shanghai port. Soybean and Corn Advisor President Michael Cordonier has increased his Brazilian soybean production estimate by 1 million metric tons to 178 million. Cordonier credits good early yield reports in Mato Grosso and improved moisture conditions in Rio Grande do Sul. Cordonier's Argentine soybean estimate was left unchanged at 49 million metric tons. The grain consulting firm Savicon has bumped up its forecast for Russian wheat exports by 400,000 tons to 44.6 million tons. Russia's export year started slowly but has now moved to near record levels. December wheat exports totaled 4.2 million tons, up from 3.4 million 1 year ago. And Chinese officials have repeated a familiar theme at a rural conference this week in Beijing. They've called for an increase in grain and oilseed production and less reliance on imports. This call for self-sufficiency has been heard for many years, but tensions with the United States may finally push China into action. U.S. agriculture officials say progress is being made in negotiations with Mexico to update a decades-old water treaty critical to farmers in Texas and the Southwest. This is USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs, Luke Lindberg.
Has taken some early steps to not only this agreement as an example, but prior to the agreement, increase water deliveries. We hope Mexico will continue along that trend, having Mexico repay its outstanding water debt.
Lindbergh says talks have already led to the release of 202,000 acre feet of water from Mexico, with deliveries to the U.S. that began in mid-December.
So every year, Mexico owes the United States about 350,000 acre-feet of water, which they have not delivered on in the past. The second piece that we've been working closely on is actually having Mexico repay its outstanding water debt. So we calculate these water cycles in five-year cycle form, and the last cycle just completed earlier this year. And so by the end of January, we anticipate that we will reach a final commitment on that second point, which is how Mexico plans to repay, to erase that outstanding debt.
Bolt Marketing Market Advisor Dwayne Bossy says soybean markets felt some pressure from first day delivery and poor export sales.
On the soybean side of things, we had a lot of deliveries. Today is first notice day for the January contract. Over 1,000 contracts got delivered on, so that'll put pressure on the market, and also poor export sales this morning. We had the weekly export sales, which would be from December 18th, was actually finally catches USDA up, but the very disappointing numbers there. So that pulls the soybean market down. We also broke some chart support. On the other hand of that, corn actually looks good. They had great export sales, and actually I like the way the chart looks on the corn market, but they can't go in opposite directions. So you got soybeans pulling down corn today, basically on a tug-of-war battle to end the year.
Cattle market seeing some profit-taking?
When you see profit-taking at the end of the quarter, end of the year, you should see a pullback in the feeder cattle market, and we're not seeing that. This market just stays really strong. Cash markets are all over the place, but generally higher. They're all over the place just because it's holiday and not a lot of auction sales going on. Live cattle have traded sideways. They can't really bust through their chart resistance because box beef has been trending a little bit lower during the holiday. Now, come back next week, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see box beef spike up, because hopefully we had good demand, solid movement, and then cash prices and the futures board can probably make another leg higher there too. So still a very strong market in the cattle.
This is the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. 2025 is just a few hours away from being in the books, and farmers are looking ahead to the next year and next crop season. Farm management analyst Kent Tesey says when planning for next year, it all starts with cash flow.
You know, as you're starting to put together a cash flow for next year, obviously we will have some government assistance payments coming in, but I think farmers need to start from the ground floor and plan their cash flow to try and make ends meet. In other words, be able to cover their costs and show a profit, if that's possible, as they're planning their input expenses, not just the direct expenses for seed, fertilizer, chemical, but also looking at their overhead costs for machinery, labor, other costs.
Farmer Bridge assistance payments are on the way.
We do know we should have some so-called Farmer Bridge assistance, FBA payments coming by late February. USDA has not announced the exact payment formulas, but we do know they'll be based on 2025 crop acres for corn, soybeans, wheat, barley, oats, other, basically all the farm program crops. And most estimates feel the corn payment's going to be somewhere probably in $40 to $45 an acre range. The wheat and soybean payments probably more in the $25 to $30 an acre range.
With the new year, consumers will see a label change for meat, poultry, and egg products. A rule was finalized in 2024 that required product of USA food labels to be used only on products coming from animals that were born, raised, and slaughtered in the United States. The rule takes effect January 1st. The previous regulations allowed animals born, raised, or slaughtered outside of the United States to have the USA label if it was packaged in the U.S. The product of USA label is voluntary and not a requirement for food companies. Minnesota's new paid family leave law takes effect tomorrow. Eligible workers get up to 12 weeks of paid medical leave and 12 weeks of paid family leave, with a cap between the two programs of 5 months per year. While there has been an outreach about the program over the past few years, agricultural lobbyist Bruce Clavin says questions remain.
I still think there are a lot of folks who either haven't heard about it or don't think it applies to them because A, they're a farm, or B, they're small. And if they have one employee or two, they may think that it doesn't apply to them, but the takeaway here is that it is. It does apply to them, and so we don't have any exemptions for small businesses or ag, unfortunately.
The law applies to all employees, whether full-time, part-time, or H-2A. The employees cannot lose their job if they take paid leave.
I don't know where you're going to get the replacement worker from out in rural Minnesota for those 3 months, but assuming you get someone to fill that spot, when the 3 months are open for taking care of the newborn, you have to let the employee come back, and their job needs to be waiting for them in the same capacity or similar than when they left for the 3 months off, because that's one of the functions of the program is the employee gets to come back 3 months later as though they never left.
House Agriculture Committee ranking member Angie Craig and 11 of her Democratic colleagues are upset with the White House for eliminating a federal-state partnership that focused on anti-competitive market structures in the food and ag sector. This collaboration between USDA and state attorneys general in over 30 states was established in 2023. In a letter to Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, the coalition said consolidation within the ag and food industry is significant, and both farmers and consumers are impacted. Minutes from the Federal Reserve Board's December meeting have been released, and it points to more interest rate cuts in 2026. Most of the Fed governors suggested further rate reductions if inflation declines as expected. The Fed cut rates 3 times this past year. And Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins has signed a secretary's memorandum with new research and development priorities. The overall priority list includes increasing profitability for farmers and ranchers, expanding markets, and protecting American agriculture from invasive species. The top 5 R&D priorities round out with the promotion of soil health and improving human health through precision nutrition and food quality. Rollins said these priorities highlight President Trump's commitment to putting farmers first. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you are listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Halal certification remains a key requirement for U.S. beef exports into many Muslim-majority countries, but the standards can vary widely by market. U.S. Meat Export Federation Director of Export Services Jim Remchek says navigating those differences is critical to maintaining and expanding export access.
Halal beef exports have traditionally been an important part of U.S. beef exports. However, there are certain markets that have different requirements for what it means to be a halal certified beef product or a halal certified beef slaughterhouse. What USMEF has done traditionally is ensure that our members know exactly what they need to do to meet those requirements and also interface with halal certifying bodies in the U.S. in case they need assistance communicating with accrediting bodies in countries that require halal certification.
Remchek says USMEF works closely with exporters, certifying bodies, and USDA to ensure U.S. beef meets those market-specific standards and to help reopen markets when access is disrupted.
We've had a couple of recent successes, namely in the UAE, through engagement and intervention supported by research that was conducted at Colorado State University and validated in an implant setting to alleviate any concerns that the UAE had in terms of our halal production system and methods. We were able to get that market fully reopened. And with Indonesia, a similar but a little bit different approach through a lot of engagement and in-person meetings with their halal accreditation authority, we were able to get that market fully reopened as well.
Chicken quotes, May wheat Minneapolis is 2.5 lower at 586.5. Chicago wheat down 3.75 to 518.25. KC wheat 6.5 lower. March corn, all corn contracts trading even here today. January soybeans are 15 cents lower at 1031. January canola in Winnipeg's down $1.70. Feb hogs are up 147. January feeders up 42 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.